آپ ہیں ایس بی ایس ہندی کے ساتھ اور خبروں کے لیے جائیں sbs.com.au/hindi پر۔
آسٹریلیا کے ٹریڈ اور ٹوریزم منتری سائمن برمنگھم کا 4 دن کا بھارت دورہ ختم ہو گیا ہے۔ اس دوران منسٹر برمنگھم نے کئی بڑے اعلان کیے، کئی پروجیکٹس لانچ کیے، بہت سی ملاقاتیں کی۔ 120 لوگوں کا ان کا مشن پچھلے 5 سال میں آسٹریلیا سے بھارت گیا سب سے بڑا ویاپارک مشن تھا۔ اس دورے سے کیا حاصل ہوا، اس کا وشلیشن کرنے کے لیے ہم نے بات کی ہے پالیسی اینالسٹ اور نیو لینڈ گروپ کی جی ایم نتاشا جھا بھاسکر سے۔ سو نتاشا، ویلکم ٹو ایس بی ایس ہندی۔
تھینک یو وویک۔
ویل اسٹارٹ وتھ واٹ از آئی بیکس، واٹ دس وزٹ واز آل اباؤٹ۔
تھینک یو وویک، اینڈ آئی تھنک اٹس امپورٹنٹ ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ واٹ آسٹریلیا انڈیا بزنس ایکسچینج از آل اباؤٹ، بٹ بیفور دیٹ جسٹ ٹو گیو یو اے پرسپیکٹیو آن ویئر آسٹریلیا انڈیا ریلیشنز آر، they are witnessing a very very significant shift today with more involvement at government, business and people to people level. And if you see over the past 25 years India's economic growth has vaulted into the ranks of world's emerging major powers. We are looking at an economy which has shown some major economic reforms. It has climbed up the ease of doing business rankings. It is poised to become the third largest economy of the world by 2030. Democracy, demographics, demand, which is driven by digitization and decentralization, is really unlocking the Indian market potential today. With the release of the India Economic Strategy 2035 in 2018 by the Australian government, it's a clear attempt to capture these opportunities that exist in India today. The strategy has set a target for India to become one of Australia's top 3 export markets, to make India the third largest destination in Asia for Australian outward investment. And we are not looking at investment just only in financial terms, but of course in areas of skills and resources to help sustain the growth of Indian industry and business. There's also a reciprocal report, Australia Economic Strategy, which will be out this year, and to capture the trade opportunities between India and Australia. So this would actually give you an idea about the Indian government's interest in taking their relationship forward with Australia and Australia's interest in taking its relationship forward with India. In that perspective, the Australia-India business exchange is a clear attempt at acknowledging and taking a strong note of the change that is happening within the Australia-India space, and turn these positive sentiments and deliberations, these goals and objectives, which are very clearly stated in the India Economic Strategy 2035, into tangibles and actions. Now, all these trade missions, if you look at them, mutual understanding is key to any great relationship, which is driven by ideas, knowledge, and opportunities. And IBEX is an initiative towards that. The IBEX was launched in October last year, and since then, it has included strings of events, meetings, commercial conferences, trade shows, culminating with what we saw this week with the 120 members business delegation, which was led by Trade, Tourism and Investment Minister Simon Birmingham. The major focus is on 4 priority sectors: education, agribusiness, resources and tourism, and also to support initiatives in food and wine, energy, health, financial services, infrastructure, sport, and science and innovation. Let me also tell you, Vivek, here that this is the biggest trade mission in the past 5 years. And we should give us an idea of the enormity of an enormity of interest that currently Australia has towards India. Also, one has to understand the trade figures currently. Trade between Australia and India pales in comparison to that between Australia and China. The two-way trade is worth $30 billion in 2019 between India and Australia. But if you compare this with China, the two-way trade with China sits at more than $200 billion. So there's a strong need also to diversify beyond the China market. And as Minister earlier had said, that Indian economy can be a shock absorber for Australian economy.
Minister's visit was quite happening, Natasha. I could see him tweeting from events, from launches, and he was tweeting pictures, cooking food and promoting Australian food and promoting Australian brands. But when it comes to Indian market is very peculiar, very interesting in that way, because it's very cost conscious. And when it comes to cost, will Australian market be able to penetrate Indian market in that sense?
That's a very valid question, and I think price sensitive market that India is, and that's where, you know, remains a major challenge for the Australian businesses to penetrate, because the quality, just as much we are looking for quality, they're also looking for you know, cost efficient technology. As you rightly said, that, you know, the minister was very, very active on Twitter and across different social media platforms, telling the people about the kind of initiatives which IBEX has taken towards, you know, engaging the Australian businesses with India and exposing them to the reality and exposing them to what India can offer at this stage. But coming back to your question on cost efficiency, if you look at you know, each and every sector, you know, which has been the focus of IBEX, for example, education. Hmm. Now, education is identified as the flagship sector for Australian businesses with India because of outstanding Australian expertise in education. And there is a significant gap in India. If you look at the gross enrollment ratio, which is lower than the global average of 36.7%. So there is a strong need for quality education in India to maximize the potential of its demographic dividend. The other three lead sectors like resources, agribusiness and tourism, these sectors were chosen because of Australia's immense strength in these sectors. And these are also areas where Australia can position itself to become a top five partner for India. Education, you know, we're looking at upgradation, we're looking at innovation, we're looking at excellence, quality, we're looking at collaboration with Indian universities. India is looking to create institutes which are eminent institutions, which can be, which are of a global stature, where students, international students can also come to study. And, you know, having said that, 40 top universities in Australia, out of them, 6 feature in the prestigious top 100, where India, which has over 950 universities, we don't have any single university to be featuring in top 100. So international education is Australia's third largest export industry. But the narrative on education for Australia has to shift from just looking at increasing the number of students in universities, just like student enrollments, but looking at an enabling relationship of capacity building, of engaging with higher education institutions in metro cities, beyond metro cities, to tier 2 and tier 3 cities, exploring joint student academic mobility programs, also looking at partnerships which look beyond silos, where Australia has an advantage and India has a need. For instance, mining safety, bioengineering, signal processing, health systems, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, climate change. So these sort of integrated degrees, multidisciplinary learning, are emerging areas of interest which can be for Australia and India. And also, you know, one thing which is emerging in a big way is vocational training. Mm-hmm. Now, within vocational and professional-led education also, we are looking in India to find ways to upskill 400 million workers by 2022. But what exactly is needed is targeted and granular advice from governments to assist providers to identify that what exactly are the possibilities, what are the viable opportunities, and what expectations Indian students have around cost and employment outcomes. Because that is something which is important to understand. Just as much we are trying to skill them, we also need to ensure that what really comes out of after these skilling initiatives. Now, there's also an opportunity for open and online courses. We have seen the Australian Council for Education Research, you know, collaborating with the National Council for Educational Research and Training in 2014 to 2016 to see, you know, assess reading, mathematics and science among students. Mutual recognition of educational qualification. Now, this is a very important area of concern. This was also raised in the joint ministerial session, the 16th joint ministerial session, which happened on the sidelines of IBEX between Piyush Goyal, the Minister for Commerce, and Simon Birmingham, Minister of Trade here, that how do we really, you know, tackle these challenges? So education remains an area of major concern and a flagship core sector between Australia and India. But adding to that is also the resources sector. Now, within resources, again, there are tremendous opportunities. You're looking, mining remains Australia's biggest strength. It is contributing about 8% to Australia's GDP, whereas for India, mining industry only contributes about 1.4% of GDP because we don't have machines which are efficient. We are lacking in all stages of mining. So you look at geoscience, exploration, development, production, reclamation. We are lacking in all these areas. That's where the support is needed. Exploration in India is mostly limited to 50 to 100 meters. And if you compare this to 300 meters in Australia, even in the exploration expenditure in India is very limited. So these are the areas where Australia can support India in a big way, not just as a resource supplier by exporting coking coal to India, which actually is like 80% of India's metallurgical coal imports from Australia currently, but also as an enabler in the met sector, mining efficient technology services. And this opportunity is huge because of India's economic development, increasing urbanization, household incomes which are rising, industrial activity. But again, in this particular sector, the concerns are that policy measures, policy stability. There have been issues like 100% liability on international technology solution providers, which in reality are just partial stakeholders in any project. So and then again, looking at best services and technology at the cheapest cost. So these issues have to be addressed by the Indian establishment when they are looking at engaging international partners who are global in their services, who have efficient technology. Mm-hmm. You mentioned tourism. Tourism, again, remains a very, very important sector between Australia and India. The Trade Minister has given a funding boost of 1 million Australian dollars, which is along with a budget of Australian of 5 million Australian dollars earlier given to Tourism Australia. We are having the ICC T20 World Cup matches. Currently, the Women World Cup matches are on. We're looking at Men's World Cup that's to happen in October, November. So India is being seen as a major market also for tourism, with visitor numbers going up. We have set a target of 1 million visitors from India by 2025-26. We're looking at more direct air services. And having said that, look at the diaspora population in India, 700,000 diaspora population. So that's, again, a huge market to tap. And the minister reiterated that in this IBEX exchange, that the opportunity is in the tourism sector in a big way. Agribusiness, where you rightly mentioned that we now will have a dedicated store for Australian brands, Australian wine and foods. Vegemite, will make its way into Indian shoppers' online baskets now, and which is interesting because the digital penetration of India is increasing in a big way, and this actually gives the local Australian businesses a very easier access to over 450 million internet users in India, out of the population of 1.3 billion. When you have a tie-up like this with online retailers like the Amazon, so that's an immediate opportunity that's coming your way. And this is a big, it's a sort of breakthrough which we have got out of this mission that with this sort of a tie-up. Agribusiness is a very touchy sector currently, reason being that we have seen that it remains one of the major constraints even in the free trade agreement between Australia and India. But just as India's agriculture sector is now shifting from subsistence to commercial models, creating opportunities for Australian businesses, they can export their services, technologies, products for storage, distribution, warehousing, fisheries management, also in animal husbandry, genetics. So there are diverse areas, post-harvest infrastructure development, joint innovation, commercialization of emerging tools. So opportunities, are huge. Look at food wastage, water management, where Australia and India can work together. And these are largely about, complementarities. It's not about, India and Australia being competitive, but how do you really match each other's priorities with each other's competitive advantages. And so is also true for other sectors. I can go on and on in the opportunities that exist, but I also am conscious of the time constraint you have.
But yes. One very realistic question is that whenever someone from Australia goes to India, it sounds like Australia is pleading and come join RCEP, come for free trade agreement. Is India listening? Is India responding on policy level? Did something happen on that front?
Well, Well, again, you know, that takes me back to what really comes out of, these sessions and these meetings, apart from creating the right atmospherics, what sort of tangible outcomes come out of it. And as you said about, is India listening when it comes to joining the RCEP? I've said that this earlier as well, that, you know, countries would make that choice depending on their domestic interests. And in fact, the trade minister, he categorically said that it's time for India to look outwards, because only when you look outwards, you can, enhance the quality of life of your own people. So just as much, India seems to be conscious of this reality, it would not want to hurt its economy, opening itself to producers and exporters from outside in sectors which are heavily dependent on domestic consumers, like agriculture, like dairy. So these are areas which remain a very, very strong concern for the Indian market currently. And it's not really about pleading, but it's about getting your message across and letting the Indian establishment know that this is what we would want in reality to happen. And it's also about positions and perceptions, mm-hmm. Which could actually facilitate stronger economic ties. And here, my only what I can actually say here is that engagement is crucial, which should actually become a permanent national project. It can't happen there has to be sustained momentum. For example, if you look at this, it's so interdependent and a sort of symbiotic relationship which we are witnessing today. The minister in his opening address at IBEX said that if you have caught a train in Sydney, the chances are that, they were manufactured by Alstom at its Andhra Pradesh facility, which is actually Australia's biggest public transport project and the first fully automated network. And if you have downloaded a rideshare app, the chances are you may have used Ola, which is a Bengaluru-based company that has rapidly expanded across Australia. So that's the kind of symbiotic interdependence we are witnessing in trade today. And it takes time. Business relationships takes time. It's just that we have to sustain this momentum and stay positive, continuously engage with the Indian establishment. A lot of that has happened. But again, what happens next? From where do we go beyond these meetings? How many businesses will come back and look at directly engaging? What sort of follow-up visits will happen after this IBEX exchange? These are the areas which would require constant work, and I think that's where the opportunity is, both for Australia and India to engage.
Well, just last question, you have lived in India and you are living in Australia. Taste of Vegemite is a very debatable question between Indians. Do you think Indians will like Indians living in India would like Vegemite?
Well, that's a personal choice, but I think as long as you are giving them an option to taste Vegemite, is in itself an opportunity. And this is a very aspirational, growing, young middle class in big numbers, which is now wanting to have access to newer products across different markets, global brands. So for them, it's giving them an opportunity to new products, and I think that's a huge welcome step, for Australian brands to be now entering the Indian market through Amazon.
Well, thank you so much for sparing so much time, and hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you, Vivek.
आप जुड़े हैं SBS हिंदी रेडियो के साथ. ऐसी ही और कहानियां सुनना चाहते हैं? Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify या फिर जहां आप podcast सुनते हैं, वहां हम हैं.